Hello.
Hello, my through to Gary Bruce Mackey.
That's correct, aye.
Hi, it's James calling from MMA Legal in regards to your Scottish redress application. How are you today, Gary? You okay?
Aye, not bad. Good to hear.
Just before I continue with the call, I just need to ask you data protection questions. Could you please confirm for me your date of birth?
Aye, 7/6/1963.
Fantastic. Your postal address?
My postal address is 135/1 Maryville Road in Edinburgh, and it's E876BG.
Fantastic. And now can you confirm for me either your mobile number or your email address, please?
I got my phone because I didn't get my number offhand.
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, it's murder. Murder. As a matter of fact, somebody stole my phone's been reported stolen.
Oh.
This is another phone I've got. I can't get into my own phone. I've had to change the chip over.
Oh, that's not good.
What happened was my phone's been reported stolen in America.
Oh, my. That's
so,
have you been to America recently by any chance?
No, I've never been out of the country.
Oh, well.
But the phone's been blocked because whatever's happened, it says it's a scam anyway, so.
Yeah, it seems as though someone's tried to get into your stuff.
Right, you ready for the number?
I'm ready, yeah.
It's 07889-675-364.
Fantastic, you've passed data protection now, Gary. Just to let you know, the calls are recorded for training and monitoring
That's
purposes.
Right.
As you are aware, I am calling today in relation to your witness statement. And just to let you know that the purpose of today's call is to take the detailed witness statement about your time in Kerr, what happened to you, how it affected you, and what evidence may exist. What will happen on the call, Gary, is that I'm going to guide you through a series of questions in order. Some questions may feel a bit difficult to answer, so if you need, just ask, vocalise that you need to take a break, and you're happy to go to get a drink, or just take 5 to 10 minutes to gather yourself, that's perfectly fine. I may need to bring us back to the timeline if we move too far ahead, just so we can make sure your statement is clear and complete.
That's fine.
And the way we'd like to try and structure the witness statement, Gary, is like, try to think of it as though this is like a chronological story. So we're going to go through each individual Kerr setting that you was placed into, as well as being asked a series of questions on them individual witness, on them individual Kerr settings. It's human nature to obviously, when you recall or trying to recall memories and events, that if you recall something what's similar to the topic what you're speaking about at hand, but it happened way further down in the line, you would naturally want to obviously state that that's happened and it was at this time. Try to refrain yourself from doing that. It'll be best to sort of try and keep note of it mentally, and then when it gets up to that Kerr setting again and I go through the set series of questions, you relay back the information there. It's just so we can create a clear, concise and meticulous witness statement, which obviously can highlight the chronology of what happened, of what happened before Kerr, how you got into Kerr, where you went in them Kerr settings and what possibly may have happened in the Kerr settings, and then obviously there'll be a bit of a closing statement. There's 12 sections to this witness statement, so it will take quite a while.
That's no problem.
Fantastic. So the first part of the witness statement, Gary, is literally just an opening, the opening and the consent. So that being, are you comfortable and happy to continue with your witness statement today?
Yes, that's fine.
Does anyone need, do you need anyone with you, a break or any other adjustments?
No, I'll be all right.
No problem. And finally, do you understand the purpose of the statement and agree that it may be used for your Scottish redress application and supporting evidence?
Yes, aye. That's fine.
Fantastic. So if at any point during the witness statement, if you just don't hear a response from myself after you've finished speaking, it is just me making notes of the
of the
conversation. So I may end up telling you to maybe like slow your brakes down a little bit while I catch up, but hopefully we'll be smooth. So we're just going to go into your personal background, Gary, and your and how events led into you being entered into Kerr. So could you just confirm for me, where did you grow up?
Edinburgh.
Do you remember the address at all?
22 Restaurant Drive is my mother and father's address.
Could you spell Esterwick Drive for me, please?
Restaurant Drive. R-E-S-T-A-L-R-I-G Drive in Edinburgh. I'm not sure of the postcode, eh?
Restillage Drive.
Aye.
And who lived in the address with you?
My mum, my dad, and my two brothers, and my sister, and myself, obviously.
Two brothers and a sister. What was home life like before Kerr?
Bastard. Sorry for my language, but terrible. For the age of sort of about 10 year old, I used to get battered off my dad constantly, every weekend, licked up and down. And I found out in later years in life that it wasn't my real dad. So I always wondered, because my brothers and sister never ever got hit again. It was just me constantly. And I ended up staying with my granny and granddad, my mum's mother and father, till I was about 20 year old, I think. Eh?
1 second. And if that was your nan and granddad on your mum's side?
Aye, on my mum's side, aye. My mum was actually, I found it in life, I know. My mum was bloody pregnant before she, I didn't count to this day where my dad is, there you go. I'm 16 year old now, so. It screwed my head up, to tell you the truth, but I managed to saunter through life, but just terrible, eh? I was in care with sort of, I don't know what age, maybe 12 or something, 13, something like that. I'm still in and out different places and that. And it was actually my parents that, I think we were at the children's panel, and it was my father that more or less says they weren't the wantonies.
Yeah. Are you aware of, can you recall how your education life was like before
education
you entered
Education was terrible.
This was before enter Kerr.
Aye, before I went into Kerr. Well, it wasn't too bad, but when I ended up in Kerr, I got school once a week for an hour.
Just hold on 1 second, Gary. So just try to recall information at this moment in time, just everything before you went to the children's panel, and before you was admitted into Kerr. Sorry to to bring it back. So you stated your education wasn't too bad before you went into Kerr.
It wasn't too bad. I went to primary school. I was all right at primary school. I went to secondary school, and I ended up running away for the house and everything, and I never went to school.
Where did you run away from, sorry?
For my mum and dad's house. I ran away for there quite a few times, actually.
Ah, right, okay, so that wasn't running away from the school, it was running away from home during
running away
secondary
from home,
school. All right, okay, sorry about that.
And I actually remember my dad come into the primary school and dragged me with the head of the hair, because I had a pair of socks on. There you go. That was at primary school.
Fantastic. Do you recall any social work difficulties before you went into Kerr?
No, I did. I ended up going to see a social worker and that, but to tell you the truth, they weren't very helpful, eh?
So the next question, Gary, is how did you come to enter Kerr?
How did I?
What was the circumstances? What led you being placed into Kerr?
Into Kerr, my mother and father not so much my mum, because my mum was bullied, but my dad had a lot to do with it. They more or less weren't They didn't give a shit about me, again, to tell you the truth.
Sorry that you had to go through that, Gary.
Oh, it's brutal. But the thing is, I managed to get through it, and I've had quite a good life.
That's good to hear. Again, at least you was able to try and see somewhat of a silver lining afterwards. You've been able to try and enjoy the rest of your life. So
it's been hard, obviously, Ken, but I do try. I suffer from ill health now as well, so...
Yeah. It's always better try your best. That's the only thing we can really do in life at the end of the day, isn't
that's
it?
That's right, Ken. And I must admit, God forbid, but my son, he's been dead 2 years on Saturday this year. He died at 29 years old.
Our condolences, Gary. Sorry to hear.
Never smoked or anything in his life and died with sepsis of all bloody things.
That's very unfortunate to hear. I do apologise about Gary.
One of the things, Ken, it's... Thing with it, you could even speak to my kids and they would tell you, getting brought up, I brought them up the right way. They've never ever touched drugs or anything in their life, never stolen anything, never been in trouble, and never ever lifted my hands to them once.
And that just shows a reflection of your character, Gary, from what you've experienced and what you've gone through. You've been able to obviously turn the other cheek at the end of the day and be able to raise your kids the way you deem fit.
So
it's very commendable. But just to bring you back to the matter at hand, sorry, Gary. Do you know if there was like a certain circumstance, what actually, like an event that happened that caused you to go into care?
The only thing I can think of was obviously I ran away a few times and things like that. Obviously, I didn't go to school, secondary school, and that was when I ended up getting put in care the first time. I got put into the assessment centre.
So you believe that it was you running away and skipping school a few times?
Aye, school and things like that, Ken.
Okay, no problem.
Steal to feed myself. That's how bad it was, mate, honestly.
Jeez.
I'm not saying I was the best parent growing up, but I would never do anybody any harm or that, then.
It's a basic necessity, though, isn't it? It's a human need. If you're stealing it and you're stealing food, then I don't consider it immoral or anything like that. It's your survival at the end of the day. Do you recall who placed you into care? Who made the decision?
It was my mum and dad and obviously the children's panel. Now, I think, if I can remember correctly, I think I was at the children's panel 2 or 3 times before they put me into care.
I do have your chronology of care, which I will go through with you once we finish the background and entry into care, and then you can confirm to me if it is correct or if there's anything that is missed. I know that you stated that you have two brothers and sisters, brothers and one sister, sorry.
One sister, right.
Were you separated from any of them when you went into care?
I never really seen them, I used to get home at the weekend, Friday to a Monday, and the only time I would see them, I would need to go around to the house, but as I say, my dad wouldn't let me in the house to see them.
And this was when you were tempted to go during the weekend?
Aye.
And it prevent you from seeing them?
Aye.
How old were you when you first entered care?
I think round about 12, maybe a bit later, but maybe 13, something like that, I'm not sure.
If you can remember back, if you can recall, how did you feel at the time when you was told that you was going to be placed into care and that you was going to be moving from your family home?
Oh, devastated me.
And then finally, Gary, is there anything important about your childhood health, learning needs, vulnerability, or name history that should be recorded?
Well, I had a bit of vulnerability because obviously I sort of had to fend for myself when it was hard, eh?
Sorry to ask kind of prying questions. When you state that you have to fend for yourself, what is it what you mean in relation to that?
Like, she's so feeding myself, and sometimes I had to sleep rough under the hedge outside my mum and dad's house because they wouldn't let us in the house. My mum would have let us in, but my dad wouldn't. And that was when I ended up staying with my nana and granddad.
That concludes the personal background and entry into care. Gary, thank you very much for bringing a detailed response of that. Now I'm just going to tell you what we've been able to locate from records that we have collected from Edinburgh City Council. As you are aware, if you do wish to request to see your records, we are more than happy to provide you with your records today. So what we have is that your first sorry, I just got something in my throat 1 minute. Sorry about that, Gary.
So
the chronology of care that we have is that on the 2nd of March 1978, you was admitted into St Catherine's Unit, which is the Regional Assessment Centre at Howden Hall, Libbleton in Edinburgh. You was there up until that age, just to let you know, at that time you would have been around 14 years old and 9 months. You was discharged from Catherine's Regional Assessment Centre on the 13th of July 1978, when you would have been 15, which states that you was discharged back home. You had a brief stint at home for a couple of months up until the 16th of October 1978. Following that, you were then readmitted back to the assessment centre on the 16th of October 1978. You was 15 years old and 4 months at the time, and you was there until the 1st of November 1978. When I was looking at your file records, when you first made the application, you stated St Catherine's Unit and also a Libbleton Bray. Further research, Libbleton Bray is also referred to as St Catherine's Unit because it's in like the same the same place. However, because you was there for a second time, I will end up asking you the questions again upon your experience there when you was returned. And then following that, you was then on the 1st of November transferred to Wellington School in Pennycuick. Apologies for the pronunciation. And you was at Tinto House Unit. And you was there up until he was up in there until the 1st of October 1979. So you spent just roughly an academic year there. And then you was discharged home on the 1st of October 1979. It just says into residential care from the address of that, I'm unsure. But from what I've just recalled to you in relation to your chronology of care, is there anything that has been missed or is that a correct chronology?
Well, I was in the assessment centre and I was in a unit called St Catherine's, but they were two different places.
Yeah, the Libbleton Bray and St Catherine's is what you relayed to us when you first did your application. When I've looked into further research, it's within Libbleton Bray and also Catherine's Regional Assessment, they are referred to as the same. Not as in it's the same place, but it is the same address. So it may be
like,
you know,
address.
Like a
they were right next door to each other, actually.
Exactly. Yeah. So it seemed as though it was like a different unit. So it just never was officially named as Liberton Bray Assessment Centre.
It was just
known as the Regional Assessment Centre. And then within the Regional Assessment Centre, that's where the St. Catherine's unit was.
Right. I've got you.
Okay. So we're going to now go into a series of 12 questions, which is all going to be relevant to each individual care setting. So we'll go in order. So first being St. Catherine's, your time there. So Gary, will you confirm to me the institutional name, location, approximate dates and age, and who placed you there?
It was the first place I was in was the assessment centre at Liberton Bray, and it was a children's panel. I think there were 3 members on the children's panel, and my parents were there.
Just hold up my catch up with a note.
They decided between them.
Did you say there was 3 members on the panel?
I'm sure it was 3 members on the panel. And my mother and father were there, and myself, obviously.
What type of setting was this?
What type of setting was the children's panel?
No, was the was Liberton Bray.
Oh, Liberton Bray. Well, it was a secure unit. All the doors were locked behind you, coming your bed and things like that. You all ate at the same time. Didn't really do much in there at all, no schooling whatsoever. More or less sitting about a sort of like a playroom during the day.
Say that again, sorry, Gary.
I'm saying it was like a kind of like a playroom type thing that we used to sit in during the day. We didn't do any schooling or anything like that at the time.
A playroom like you sat in?
Like a staff room thing, but it's obviously full of kids, eh?
Do you know how long he was there for?
Probably, I can't quite mind offhand, but I would reckon at least 3 or 4 months, I would think, anyway. I may be wrong, but
if you don't recall anything or you're just unsure, that is perfectly fine. You can state that.
I'm sure unsure.
And if you have any, if you have like a rough idea, you can also state what the rough idea is, and I will relay that. Obviously, that's something what you think, but you're not 100% sure by the fact. Everything what we write down today is trying to be a best recollection of your time in care within your words, so it has to basically be typed up as you would communicate and how you would speak. I would then write it verbatim, essentially.
Aye.
So just real in a few sentences, what was order? The next question, sorry Gary, is going to be in relation to ordinary life like at your first time round at the assessment centre, and so strictly just think about your time there the first time round before you went back home for the brief stint. So could you just tell me What was your ordinary day life like at the assessment centre? That being, how was the accommodation? We can go through it as being, firstly, what was the accommodation like?
The accommodation was basic. It was like a dormer type thing. There was other people in the room as well.
How many people would you say would be in your
I'm
room?
thinking, well, when there was two years, eh?
There were two people in the room.
Aye. Some of the rooms had more than them, but...
But you was placed in just with one other person.
Aye, one other person at the time, aye.
How was the rooms like? Were they clean?
Aye, they were clean as shy, but just basic, eh, really. Metal beds and things like that.
So what was your daily routine like whilst you was in?
Get up, get showered, get your breakfast, and then have recreation after that.
And it was just recreation for the rest of the day, essentially.
Aye, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I know you stated about it before previously, but was there a, what was the school slash any work like at the centre?
No, no work whatsoever. No school work whatsoever. Not the assessment centre, obviously. No, definitely not.
What was food and clothing like when you was there?
Basic, it was
Did you at least
one
have like,
souls.
did you have 3 meals a day?
Yeah, aye.
Okay. And would you say there was adequate meals?
Yeah, I would say so, aye.
What was the clothing like that you had, Gary?
Terrible. like a sweatshirt type thing. Shorts and black rubbers. Remember the old black plimsolls you got when you were at primary school?
Yeah. And this was all provided to you.
That was all provided to you, aye.
And was were they clean and hygienic?
Yeah, aye, aye.
Fantastic. So, the next question, in relation to your first time around at the assessment centre, how did the staff and other children genuinely treat you whilst you were there?
Terrible. Got bullied.
And this is this by when you say it was terrible and you got bullied, is this by both the staff and children or?
Staff and children, aye.
Yeah. Can you recall if there was any rules? But you had to abide by that could possibly have followed with punishment, isolation, or unsafe arrangements.
If you got punished, I remember one time I did run away from the assessment centre, and when I got brought back, I got put into a cell, a padded cell.
Was playing into a padded.
That's
Can
like
you
a
re
cell, can you get in the police station? That's what it was like.
Can you remember where the padded cell was located? Like, was it on the first floor, second floor?
It was up on the first floor.
On the first floor. How long was you roughly placed into the padded cell?
A couple of, either a day or 2 days at the most, and I got let back out and put back into the sort of mainstream thing.
For a day or two.
Aye.
Sorry about that. So at the moment, I just got that that you the treatment of you was terrible. They got bullied by both the staff and also the children. You remember running away once and was placed into a padded cell on the first floor, and that you would have been placed there for a day or two before being let out. Can you remember any like specific rules what they may have given you? What you would have thought may have been a bit odd. When I'm speaking to other people before, you mentioned things not allowed to make eye contact with any of the staff, like keeping the reds down. Can you think of anything?
Oh, sometimes you would say what you're looking at, again, stuck staring and things like that.
Sorry, could you say that again for me, please, Gary?
Ken, the staff would say, what are you staring at, Ken? Things like that. And obviously the other children that were there, Ken, what are you looking at, you wee cunt, and things like that. Maybe try and start a fight with you and things like that. And if you did start fighting and that, you ended up getting put into that cell, obviously, then.
And if you fought or answered back, you'd be placed in the padded cell, is that
right?
Aye,
placed in the cell. Placed in the cell, aye.
So the next question is going to be quite distressing, Gary. And before I relay the question to you, I am just going to describe to you what the Scottish Redress Panel is considering as abuse in these applications. So first we'll just go with neglect. So the Scottish Redress Panel describes neglect as inadequate or withheld food, clothing, warmth, hygiene, supervision, safety, medical care, education or support, unsafe confinement, a failure to protect from bullying, failure to protect you from bullying, violence, sexual harm, older children or unsafe adults. They describe emotional abuse as being threats, humiliation, blame, name calling, isolation, receiving different treatment in retrospect to other children, denial of family contact, being made to feel powerless or unwanted, are being forced to witness the abuse or humiliation of others. They also describe physical abuse being hitting, slapping, punching, kicking, shaking, throwing, restraining, locking in, exposure to cold water, denial of food or toilet access or use of an object, any recorded injury / pain or whether treatment was provided, needed, hidden or ignored. And then finally, sexual abuse has been described as unwanted sexual touching or exposure, sexual comments / images, being made to watch, pressure or forced to take part, attempted or actual penetration / oral activity / masturbation, photography or filming, grooming, gifts, threats of secrecy, number of people involved and approximate frequency / duration. With that being said, did anything happen to you while she was at the assessment centre which you would now consider abuse, neglect or harmful, and the criteria of that being sexual abuse, physical, emotional abuse or neglect?
I had mental abuse, definitely.
Mental abuse, emotional?
Emotional as well. Obviously, I.
So I'm just going to take an account of which of the abuse. So at the moment, I've just got like the abuse that you experienced at your first time at the assessment centre. Out of the four, you believe that you only experienced emotional abuse?
Yes, I.
Thinking back upon that abuse, Gary, can you remember who was involved or responsible for that?
some of the kids and some of the staff. Obviously, I can't remember the staff's names because it's that long ago.
Yeah. So you don't remember any of the names. Could you, by any chance, remember the roles, what they had at the assessment centre?
No, really, I just kind of a staff, eh?
Okay, that's fine. Do you remember any vague descriptions of the staff members who were involved? That being like they could have been, like fat and bald, or they could have been very thin with long hair. Anything? Any descriptive features? What would stand out? Do you recall?
One of them had a moustache, I ken that. Glasses.
He had a moustache and glasses.
Dark hair.
Dark hair.
I can't think of any of the rest of them, really. No.
That's perfectly fine. So, in regards to the emotional abuse, Gary, can you give one clear example of what happened? When relaying this, we'd like try to remember where and when it occurred. What was happening before the abuse happened? What happened during the abuse, i.e. being the events of the abuse, what it actually was? And then what happened after, following the abuse had taken place?
I would reckon it was the staff picking on me, telling me to shut up, swearing at me, things like that.
Do you remember what they'd say to you? Sorry to, if it's a bit distressing to remember.
The little cunt. I do remember that. Maybe likes you. You're nasty. And obviously the other kids, some of them were wild, Ken, and call me a fat bastard and things like that, because I was quite plump at the time.
So the other kids referred to you as a wild cannon, did you say?
No, I'm saying they were wild cannons. Call me a fat bastard and things like that. Just try to cause trouble, more or less, Ken.
Can you recall what was happening before the staff started to pick on you in that moment?
No, I was just sitting in the recreation room at the time. I can remember, I know they did take my shoes off me, I know. I was walking about in my socks for days on end.
And is this the kids or is this the staff?
No, the staff took the shoes off us in case I run away again.
One moment, Gary, just while I'm typing up the notes.
No problem. Convicted. Did you get this?
Can you just wait a little people?
Did you come in the back, sir?
No, I'll walk in front of you. And stop. To look at the castle. I've heard a little bit of this and then I'm like, and she wouldn't be able to meet you.
I've got a bottle of water. Turn your stick.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Gary. So back on from it. So they said it was to prevent you from running away. What happened after?
I got taken back to the assessment centre. The police come to my nana's door.
Sorry to interrupt, Gary. I mean, let me rephrase the question. What happened after they took your shoes and obviously the was giving you all this slack and provide and giving you a bad time.
Right. What they done was they took my shoes off in case I run away again. And
yeah.
I had to walk about for days on end with no shoes. And they were all laughing at ease and things like that, making a fool of me again.
Would you say this happened often and over what period of time would it happen, and did it change or ever become worse?
No, it happened all the time in there when I was in there. It happened most days. Somebody would say something, Ken.
Did it ever change or become worse, Gary?
No, I would say some days could be worse than others. And obviously, with just being a kid at the time, you didn't care what your head's thinking. You didn't understand why you're there and things like that.
Yeah. So the next question in relation to this, Gary, is what immediate effects did you experience following the emotional abuse? Therefore, that being, did you have any pain/injury, fear, any shame, any sleeping problems, any problems with bedwetting, running away, behaviour or school changes?
Run away a couple of times. The abuse done my head in, to tell you the truth. I had mental health problems from a young age.
Did you have any issues in relation to fear, shame, sleep?
I didn't sleep very well. I still didn't sleep very well now either.
Did you notice any behavioural changes within yourself?
Oh, I definitely. I without a doubt, I did. I went to the end myself, quiet. Know what to talk to anybody. I never got any visitors. I think my mother come up maybe once or twice to see me at the assessment centre. That was it. I never got any visits, nothing for my family.
So, Gary, did anyone witness any of this abuse, know about it, or experience something similar?
No, that I know of offhand. Obviously, some of the staff would see it and things like that, but it's whether they would say it or not, it's a different story, eh?
The next question, did you tell anyone or try to get any help, Gary, when you were there the first time round?
I tried to explain it to my mum and that, but my mum's hands was tied.
What response did you receive when you tried to explain what was going on?
More or less, just said, look, everything will be all right, everything will be all right. I can remember her saying that.
And what would you say was different your first time round at the assessment centre compared to your second time round at the assessment centre and also your placement at Wellington School?
Well, the second time I went to the assessment centre, I more or less kept what I was going into. I ended up in St. Catherine's, which was next door to the assessment centre. I stayed in a room, I think, at the time. There was...
Sorry to interrupt you, Gary.
Three or four of us in a room, I think it was.
Yeah. We will be going on to your time at St. Catherine's in a second, and this is in relation to the first time round where you said it was Liberton Bray.
Aye.
So from your experience at Liberton Bray, was there anything different from what you experienced at Liberton Bray in comparison to St. Catherine's and then Wellington School?
It got worse. It definitely got worse.
It got worse.
Aye, especially when I went to Wellington Farm, eh?
Fantastic. So now that concludes the first part of your chronology of care, being your time at Liberton Bray. So what followed from your discharge at Liberton Bray on the 13th of July 1978 is that you were sent back home. It was at the age of 15. It would have been just 1 month into your 15th year. And then you was then readmitted back to the assessment centre on the 16th of the 10th, 1978, up until the 1st of November 1978. So, on the second admission, could you kindly please, Gary, confirm the institutional name?
Aye, that was the assessment centre at Liberton Bray, sorry.
Again, can you remember who placed you there?
The assessment, the children's panel, and my father and mother.
And this was the second time round. The children's panel was the one who decided, okay, no problem.
They did do at the time was I had a social worker. I can't mind their name, though. I had a social worker at the time. We were asked to leave the room. I do remember that. Well, my mother and father in the panel to discuss it, and when I went back in, they tell me that they're putting us back into care again.
Okay, so at the time you said you had a social worker who was there, did you say they asked you and the social worker to leave, or was it just...
Aye, to leave the room, so they could discuss it.
These are all repeated questions, so if it does feel a bit tedious that you're doing them again, I do apologise.
Try to
remember the chronology that we want it to try and be now strictly within the second care setting. So all these questions are only in relation to your second admission into the assessment centre. Okay. So what type of setting was it, Gary, and how long was you there for?
I think roughly between 2 and 3 months I was in the assessment centre. Just the same as the first time, you just sat in a room. to just doing activities and things like that.
Okay, that is fine. Just hold on a moment. So the next question, Gary, again, is in a few sentences just to explain what your what ordinary day life like was there. So could you please just relay to me what the accommodation as a whole was like?
Aye. As I say, a couple of beds in a room, like a dormer. Some of them had four beds in them. Some of them had two. Some of them had one. I was always in a room with somebody, obviously. The windows, you couldn't open the windows or anything because they obviously had locks on them, things like that. You were locked in the room at night.
So the windows and doors were locked?
Aye, at night they were, aye.
They were locked during the night. What would you say the overall hygiene of the room was like?
Wasn't it bad? Wasn't it bad? As I say, basic, but it wasn't it bad. Clean enough.
No worries. What was food and clothing like?
The clothing, terrible. Sweatshirt. Shorts. And shorts, but it was kind of like that jaggy material.
Yeah.
That's what it was like.
And would you say what would you say the overall state of the uniform, the clothes were like? Were they clean or were they dirty?
They were clean, but they were frayed and things like that, Ken.
And what was the food like as well?
Crap. Just basic, eh?
When was it 3 meals a day?
Aye.
And finally, was you able to get contact with your family whilst your second time round at the assessment centre?
No, never seen any of them.
Was you able to make contact if you wished to do so?
No, couldn't get in contact with them.
Was that just due to the fact that you just wasn't physically able to do so, or was you ever refused contact by the staff?
I was refused, refused with the staff. I think you could get them at the time, you could get them to phone your house.
Yeah.
To pass messages over that, but they never ever done it.
So how the second time around at the assessment centre, how did staff and other children genuinely treat you?
Just the same. Just cheeky and always calling my names and things like that, eh? But as I say, I was quite heavy at the time.
When you say things like that, what do you... sorry to be a bit meticulous, but what would you say the other things were?
Fat bastard, ugly cunt, things like that.
Well, just different names, Colin.
Aye, all different names. And
okay. Do you recall any rules and punishments that was enforced by the staff?
Well, if you started a fight or anything, or you were fighting with somebody or arguing, that's what would happen. You would get put into the cell, as I say, up on the first floor.
Yeah. So you get put on.
Stuck like your tuck thing and all, they'd be threatening you with that. Kind of like say if you.
They would threaten with what?
Or anything like that.
Sorry, Gary, what would they threaten you with?
Kind of like say the tuck. Kind of if you were getting sweets or anything like that.
Oh, they take away sweets.
Aye, they'd be say you're not getting them and things like that.
I'm going to go through again the conditional criteria that the Scottish Redress Panel considers to be under as abuse. So we're going to go through sexual abuse first. So any unwanted sexual touching or exposure, sexual comments / images, being made to watch, pressure or forced to take part, any attempted or actual penetration / oral activity or masturbation, photography or filming, grooming, gifts, threats of secrecy, number of people involved and approximate frequency and duration. From that list, do you recall if you were a victim of any sexual abuse?
No, there was nothing like that.
No problem. The panel states as physical abuse being anything that anyone who has been in receipt of any hitting, slapping, punching, kicking, shaking, throwing, restraining, locking in, exposure to cold water, denial of food or toilet access, or use of an object, recorded injury / pain, and whether treatment was provided, needed, hidden or ignored. From that, would you then state, would you then recollect if you had or haven't been a victim of physical abuse?
Yes, I have been, aye, but that was in Wellington Farm, obviously.
Okay, we'll go back to that then when it gets to Wellington Farm.
Aye.
It's just in relation to the second time around at the assessment centre. So I'll just put that as no. I will then go and describe what emotional abuse is considered by the Scottish Redress Panel. So this is just threats, humiliation, any blame, name-calling, isolation, different treatment in comparison to other children, denial of family contact, being made to feel powerless or unwanted, or being forced to witness abuse or humiliation of others. From that, would you recall any of your time spent at the second time round of the assessment centre that you were a victim of emotional abuse?
Yes, I name calling. That was really bad. Grabbed. Physically grabbed.
And was this by the member of staff?
A seat and thing like that, aye. The staff.
That would also be considered as physical abuse as well.
Yeah.
Just so you're aware. So those name calling was really bad. He was also physically grabbed by a member of staff.
Member of staff and thrown onto a chair.
I'm just now going to briefly read the qualifying elements of neglect. So that being any inadequate or withholding of food, clothing, warmth, hygiene, supervision, safety, medical care, education or emotional support, unsafe confinement or failure to protect from bullying, violence, sexual harm, or be protected from all the children or unsafe adults. With that being said, would you, looking back, would you think that you've been a victim of neglect?
Oh, aye, definitely, aye. Without a doubt.
Just briefly, for me, Gary, could you just briefly describe, state the reasons as to why you believe you were neglected as a child at the assessment centre?
At the assessment centre, I would reckon just the way they treated me in general, treated me like a dog. And being truthful, they didn't give a shit, the staff, again, they just didn't bother.
This may become a bit distressful, because following on these next couple of questions, because it will be referencing back to the three indicators of abuse. So first, as a collective whole of the physical, emotional and neglect, who was involved or responsible?
The staff, definitely the staff, and some of the other people that were in there.
Can you remember any names of the staff, the roles that they had at the assessment centre? Can you remember a brief description of what they looked like?
There was a guy who had black hair and moustache, I remember that, and glasses. He pushed me onto a chair a couple of times. I can't really remember any of the other ones, because obviously I'd written it myself and ended up having to speak hardly and things like that, Ken.
So this is where we're going to be a little bit more meticulous, Gary, when it comes to them three admissions of abuse. So could you kindly give one clear example of what happened, where and when it occurred, and what happened before, during and afterwards when you believe you was emotionally abused?
In the assessment centre.
Yes, that's great. So this is specifically just for your second time round in the assessment centre?
Right, that's fine. I would say, when I'm pushing his about, bullying me constantly.
Hold on 1 second, Gary, hold on 1 second. I'm just trying to structure it. So, because quite a lot of what happens within physical and emotional can also be entwined with each other and be... and qualify for each level, so I just want to make sure I get both of them right. So in relation to the emotional, with the name calling, would you give one clear example of what happened, where it happened, when did it occur?
Yeah, it would be in the recreation room with a other people that were in there, some of them calling me names, obviously, fat bastard.
So when you say other people, do you mean just strictly other children? Or
aye, other children, as well? Aye. Okay. And obviously I would start arguing with them, or give them as good as I got. The staff would come over, grab you, throw you onto a chair, calm down and things like that.
1 second.
And they would always threaten you with the cell, Ken, with the room that you got locked in.
So for emotional, I just thought it would be in the recreation room with other children. They will call your names. If you'd retaliate and defend yourself, then the staff would come in and restrain you. They throw you into a chair and threaten to lock you into the padded room.
Aye, they would put you in a room and lock you in the room if you didn't behave yourself.
So when it comes to the clear example of the physical abuse, what you endured, could you kindly give me one example where that happened and when did it occur?
In the recreation room as well.
Yeah.
When I was grabbed by the staff member and pushed onto the seat. That happened on two or three occasions over the time I was in there.
On two or three occasions?
Aye.
Do you recall what happened after that?
After that, just more or less, just quiet and doing. And I was just sitting in the corner. And I think the second time I wasn't in for as long, and that was when I got put to St. Catherine's, because they were waiting on a placement for me to go to Welly Farm.
Yeah, that's correct. So I'm going to go on to the neglect part of what you mentioned. So would you be able to, again, Gary, give a clear example of a time when you experienced a form of neglect? Where and when did it occur?
I would say in that room again. Then they didn't bother. They didn't give a shit about you, more or less.
Just two more questions now in relation to this assessment centre on your second visit. So how often did this abuse occur? Over what period, and did it ever change or become worse?
I would say it happened more or less every day. Especially with the kids trying to wind me up, slag me, take the piss out of me. And obviously if I retaliated, the staff would be on your case. And
would you say that it got worse during your time there?
But didn't it get worse until it was all right in the, didn't it get worse in the assessment centre? It wasn't until I went to Welly Farm that it got really bad.
There's a couple more questions in relation to this. So what immediate effects did you experience?
Immediate effects?
Yeah, when you was at the assessment centre, so did you experience any...
I was actually feared. Mentally, I was wanting to take my own life at one time. Because I did, my head was just burning constantly. Worrying about it. And obviously, I didn't think I should have been in the place at the time. Like my family should have stuck up for us, more or less, than handing it on a plate to them. Kind of them making a decision for me. The children's panel, and that, I thought it was a disgrace.
Did anyone else witness it, know about it, or experience anything similar to what you experienced?
I'd imagine a lot of the children in the place with, but obviously, I can't even remember any of their names. And obviously, as I've already said, the staff would know, I know, but like, the staff have not got to stick each other in, they've got to stick by together.
No problem. Did you tell anyone or try to get help the second time around you was in the assessment centre, Gary?
There was no point then, because nobody would listen to me. Nobody would listen whatsoever to me.
So, Gary, as previously stated before, what was different at this placement the second time around compared to your placement the first time around and your placement at Wellington Farm?
Nothing, I wouldn't think. If anything, it got worse.
No worries. Just as the call that's gone on for 17 minutes now, Gary, I don't want to lose your transcript when it comes to drafting up the witness statement. So what I'm going to do while Wellington Farm is, as you stated yourself, the worst experience what you had during your time in Kerr, I'm just going to give you about 5-10 minutes just to obviously familiarise yourself specifically with what was happening at Wellington Farm.
Uh-huh.
Try and think of the questions that I've just previously asked you. There's 12 questions.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll give you a ring in a couple of minutes' time and we'll finish off the witness statement being... All we need to do now is just the final institution being Wellington Farm.
That's
and then
great.
Essentially we'll just go through the sixth section, which is people involved reporting and institutional knowledge. 7 would be the movement between placements and leaving Kerr. 8 would be the impact, so the impact on Kerr on your life as a whole since leaving. And then it would just be support and treatment, which consists of very small brief questions.
Yeah.
10 being evidence and support and information, which more or less is just a yes or no kind of answer.
Uh-huh.
Again, for Section 11 being previous claims, application and payments, again, it would just be a yes or no and a reasons for applying. So with that being said, just so I'm just covering myself with a welfare check, are you okay at the moment for me to call you back in the next 5-10 minutes?
Aye,
are you okay
fine.
For the call to end?
That's no problem
okay.
at all.
No worries. I will call you back in literally in about 5 minutes, Gary,
right,
just to go
fine.
Through the final part of the witness statement, okay?
Okay, thanks very
Fantastic.
Much.
I'll speak to you soon, Gary. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.